the devil sure doesn't want the saints of God digging around in the book of Ephesians. Wow. Why would the devil so be threatened when saints try and look at the book of Ephesians? Well, this was a letter that Paul wrote that probably gives us the deepest look that we're going to get in the Word of God at the mystery of the ages. The will of God and the mystery of the ages for His church in this age. And it is for this age, this time that we are now in, why this book has the potential of so rocking the gates of hell. This letter to the church in Ephesus. And by the time Paul got his head chopped off, though he had planted this great church, and it was the greatest of the churches of the apostolic age, yes, greater than the church in Jerusalem, because it was Paul, the same Paul that wrote this epistle to the Ephesians, who had to write that church in Jerusalem, the epistle to the Hebrews. Don't ever let anybody tell you that it was not Paul the Apostle who wrote the epistle to the Hebrews. They try and tell you that, then you say, look, you give me the epistle that Peter said Paul wrote to the Hebrews. Peter said Paul wrote one by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and you either show me that, or you shut your mouth, or God will shut it for you. This book of Ephesians, the devil is very threatened by this book. Paul comes as close to opening up the mystery of the ages through the will of God as any book in the Bible. And it was over 20 years probably after Paul had his head chopped off, where the Apostle John had become the chief elder of this church, the angel of this church, if you will, the pastor of this church, if you will. And he was caught up the way Paul was caught up. And we don't know if he had a testimony that he saw things that were not lawful for a man to speak of, but we do know that he heard seven thunders and he was told not to write that. And when he was caught up there, when the Lord appeared to him on that prison island of Patmos and gave him the revelation, the Lord talked about this church that John was pastor in absentia, that Paul had planted. And he said, I know thy works and tribulation. What in the world ever makes any saint or member of the body of Christ and part of the church thinks they're exempt from tribulation? I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. To be an apostle, Jesus chose 12, and Paul was the one that Jesus chose to replace Judas. The one the apostles chose in a blatant act of disobedience before they received the Holy Spirit was not one of the 12 chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ, who will have their names written on the 12 foundations of New Jerusalem. Matthias may have been a good guy, but it was a blatant act of disobedience of the apostles to do what they did before they had received the promise of the Holy Spirit to be able to do anything right. And this is the truth. In order for us to do anything right, we must do it in Christ, and that means by His Spirit empowerment. Yes, Paul the Apostle, by the will of God. Do you know the will of God? Some things about the will of God are very, very clear. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's clear, isn't it? That's as straightforward as can be, isn't it? For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That's clear, isn't it? That's straight up, isn't it? Now, in this sanctification, you better let God be the one doing the sanctification. You better not be sanctifying yourself. That's what religion is all about. The religions of man and Satan. The religions that lead on the broad way to destruction if you're sanctifying yourself. See, only God is good, only God is holy, and only God can sanctify anyone. But this book is about the will of God. And what is the will of God? It was the will of God to send Yeshua to redeem us. And He gave us the Word of God. He gave us the words of His Father because He and His Father always were one. Now there was a time when He learned obedience by the things which He suffered and literally had to sweat blood, conforming His will to do the will of the Father. But He had a glory with the Father before the world was. And he gave us the Word of God, and his name is even called the Word of God, and he is the Word of God. He is the I Am. He is the Aleph Tav. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the only begotten firstborn Son of God. And he gave us this Word, and this Word is precious to us. Why is it so precious to us? Because we are not of this world, even as the Lord Jesus Christ, the I Am, is not of this world. Now, he didn't pray to the Father when he was sweating blood that the Father should take us out of the world like the pre-trib La-La Land rapture teachers, liars for hire teach. No. He said, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. Jesus, Yeshua, is the Word of God. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. He is the light. And God must sanctify us. If we are sanctifying ourselves, we are on the broad religious way to hell. He said to the Father as he was sweating blood, sanctify them through thy truth. That's Jesus. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to know the will of God? It was the will of God to send Yeshua. And just as God sent him into this world to redeem us, Yeshua sends us into this world that we are not of. We are not of this world. That's why this word is precious to us. That's why this world hates us. And church people in particular who are about this religious business of sanctifying themselves, they particularly hate you. Now, they'll cover it over with a bunch of religious stinky garbage. But it's true, nevertheless. But nobody was ever sanctified like the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the only one who could ever say, Satan hath nothing in me. Nobody was ever sanctified to that level. Every one of us, Satan has had a part in us along the way. And we still got that snake of vanity and that scorpion of envy in us that we need to keep under our feet. And this book of Ephesians tells us how to do that too. But how will we be sanctified? If we're going to be sanctified, we are going to be sanctified through the truth. And Jesus, Yeshua, is the truth. But what is this will of God? That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. You can only receive it by faith. And this is what the mystery of the ages is all about. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the glory which the Father gave Yeshua before the world was founded. I have, this past tense, I have given them. You called out ones that they may be one, even as we are one. That's the will of God. I in them, Jesus said, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. Do you know the love of God? It is the will of God that the love of God dawns in your heart, and it will change you as thou hast loved me. Father, I will, Jesus said, I will also whom thou hast given me, that they be with me where I am. Hallelujah! Here we are. If it is the will of God, it's doable. Do we want to be with him where he is? Do you know where he is? Do you know how to get where he is? I know where he is. You do too. He's seated at the Father's right hand on the highest throne, far above all principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions, out in God's third heaven, beyond the furthest reaches of this universe that we can see with the best of telescopes. That's where he is. Well, how are you going to get there? That's billions and billions and billions and billions of light years away. I can get there in an instant, so can you. This is the mystery of the ages. Christ in us, the hope of glory, and that this thing which he did explicitly reveal as his will and the Father's will, because his will and the Father's will were always one, even when it came to the point where he had to sweat blood to make it so. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory. Ooh. Now we're talking about the mystery of the ages, see? And in this time, at the end of the age, it's never been more important. Which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, amen. This is the precious thing about the fellowship of the saints. Wherever two or three are gathered, he's there also. Oh, if the church could ever understand this the way the devil understands. See, the devil understands it. He knows that one of us in the will of God, one of us in the will of God, the way we're supposed to be in the will of God, to put 1,000 to flight, and two of us will put 10,000 to flight. But this was that letter to that great church that Paul planted over there in Ephesus. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's the word of God. Don't you ever put up with anybody questioning Paul's apostleship. Don't put up with it for a second. Just knee-jerk it right out. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I give you your first admonition as an heretic. And if there's any response other than meekness, say, I now give you your second admonition as an heretic and I reject you. Get away from me. Yeah, just do it just like that. Okay? That's the way you do it. You don't put up with people who would question Paul's apostleship, who would question the integrity of anything Paul wrote, and Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And if you are too unlearned and too unstable to know that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews to upbraid that church in Jerusalem, the only epistle to Messianic Jewish believers, if you don't know Paul wrote that and why he wrote that, you got no business teaching anybody in the name of Yeshua or in any other name. Not if they know God. Not if they're God's children. You'll receive the greater condemnation for it if you do. Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ. His name will be written on the 12 foundations of New Jerusalem as the replacement for Judas. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. You don't know the will of God. You say Paul was not an apostle to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's going to show you as close as we're going to get to those things which were shown to him that were not lawful for a man to speak. He's going to show us depth in this mystery of the ages more than he showed anybody else. And he had a deeper look at it than anybody else. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace always comes first. You can't have anything unless grace comes to you first. We didn't choose God, he chose us. And peace from God our Father. Only the Lord Jesus Christ would reveal that most highest privileged name possible to have to refer to God in prayer. Only the Lord Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God could reveal that highest privilege name that saints are privileged to use in prayer and talking to God. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. A big part of the mystery of the ages right here. How many blessings? All. Don't miss it. Hope you see it. How many blessings in heavenly places? All spiritual blessings. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, he picked us. We did not pick him. He picked us before he founded the world. We didn't choose him. He chose us first. Before the foundation of the world. And he picked us and he chose us for his praise and for his glory. Problem is, we don't know who we are in Christ. We don't understand this mystery of the ages. Christ in us, the hope of glory. But he hath chosen. You got to understand this. This is past tense. This is done deal. According as he hath chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. How are you going to be holy? The Holy One must do the sanctifying. You sanctify yourself, you're on the broad religious path to hell. But this is why he chose us, that we should be holy, for he is holy, and without blame before him in love. Wow. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Oh, yes, you know we believe in predestination. God is love. He has predestinated vessels for his love for all eternity to be poured out upon. And he has predestinated vessels of wrath for destruction. He gives everybody the freedom to choose. Now, we deserve wrath. We deserve destruction, but some are not going to get what they deserve. I hope you don't want what you deserve, because if you want what you deserve, you ain't going to like it. Salvation indeed is for whosoever will. Whose will? That's the question. Is it going to be your will or his will? That's the question, you see. And he knows the choices we're going to make, but we don't know the choices we're going to make until we make them. Oh, but yes, we do believe in predestination, because if we make the right choices, we will be predestinated to be in his will and choose his will over our own will, and we will be predestinated for an eternal weight of glory. We will get to understand this mystery of the ages. Having predestinated us, again, this is all past tense, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. This means the double portion of the firstborn. Look, Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau is the firstborn. Isaac would have divided everything he had, give two portions to Esau and one to Jacob. But Jacob sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. So Jacob was going to get two parts, and Esau only one. Not a bright deal, but at least his pottage has lentils in it. Better than some of the pottages people sell out for in this world. But God knew the choices they were going to make, and that's why he was totally just in saying before they were born that Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. But Isaac was free to adopt a son, and had Isaac adopted a son, he would have not divided everything into three parts. He would have divided everything into five parts, and the firstborn would have gotten two. The adopted son would have gotten two, and the other son would have only got one. Do you understand this? That he, God Almighty, has predestinated us to the adoption of children. That means we get the full double portion of the firstborn in this inheritance in the saints. Do you understand that? Not that we're going to be like some little god, like the manifest sons of God teach. No. But all this fullness of a son of God, all this wonderful position as adopted children of God, this privilege to call the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ our Father, this ability to know how we may instantly go where he is, transcending time and space. Oh, it's bigger than we can understand, but it's done, you see. It's sealed. You see, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's the will of God. It's his will. This wonderful mystery of the ages is his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. It's all grace. His grace. It's not what we deserve. No, no. It's all about his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You're accepted there where he is, if you are in Christ by his Spirit. If your will is and has been conformed to do his will. If you have real faith, which is this determination to do what God said just because God said so. And the rest is phony baloney, brethren. The rest is religion. And stinks to high heaven. In whom we have redemption through his blood. No other way. You'll either be redeemed by his blood. You'll either find redemption through his blood sacrifice. You will either find acceptance through his blood, or you won't. be redeemed. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The forgiveness of sin, not a license to sin, the forgiveness of sins, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom. Oh, I'm so glad you have an unction. You have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. You have all wisdom. You don't need anyone to teach you because you have the teacher who knows all things. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Do you know the mystery of his will? That where he is seated at the Father's right hand, it is his will that we have this glorious means to go where he is. Scientists don't understand this if they don't know Jesus by the Holy Ghost. They can't know this. Scientists would say it's impossible to get beyond outer space. They can't understand this. You must be born again. You can only understand this by the Spirit of truth and holiness. You can only understand this by the Spirit of God. But this is the will of God, that we be able to be where he is at the Father's right hand. And it can be done, and I've done it, and I hope you have too. And if you don't understand this mystery, this needs to be the mystery you focus in and study now in this time, and not pay attention to the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity couldn't make a pimple on this mystery. Not in this time. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. See, it's his will. It's his purpose. This goodness, this grace is his will toward us. His grace toward us. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Oh, we're getting close to that, aren't we? We're certainly getting close to the end of this age, when the king is coming back and going to make this world again as it was when he looked at all that he had made and said it was very good, where we have the firmament again and the seas will be no more and all the mountains will melt down and fill the valleys. The elements will melt with fervent heat. And when that happens, you're either going to fly or you're going to fry. We're getting close to that. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one, all things in Christ. All things meant to be eternally where he is. And where he is, there is life. There is light. There is love. There is liberty. There is blessing. And there is fullness of joy, because in his presence is fullness of joy. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Not that which is defiled, because that which defileth is going to be burned up. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. All those saints now in heaven, he's going to bring with him. When we see the brightness of his coming, if we're in Christ, we will get glorified bodies, just like the ones coming out of the ground are going to have glorified bodies, and they're going to fly back up and take their place in the parade, and we're going to follow him and get our place in the parade. And he's coming back right to the point where he took off, to the Mount of Olives. He's going to split it. And we're going to watch him cause the elements to melt. We'll be behind him. We'll look at him, what he's doing, and the brightness of his glory focused on the earth will cause the elements to melt. It'll cause the seas to flash into steam and go up and form the firmament again. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. What an inheritance. The full double portion of the firstborn. That's quite an inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Which will do you want? Do you want your will or his will? See, salvation is for whosoever will. This is really what it's all about. Whose will? His will or my will? That's what it's all about, see. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You see, and if you don't have that seal, you need that seal. That has to be priority one. And there are many people today who have been born again who need to be born again again. Well, how can anybody be born again again? How can you be born again the first time? It's just, what do you want to do? You want to be like a Nicodemus and say, how can these things be? Listen! If you can find the grace of God, if you can determine to do His will instead of your own will, if you can choose the will of God instead of self-will, you can be born again. And I'll tell you what, when you have fallen out of His grace, you're going to be the last one to know about it. And the only way you're probably going to know about it is if some saint loves you enough to say, oh, brother, you need to be born again again. Because this is the only way. There is no other way. We need to be sealed. But we have been sealed, you see. We have been sealed. Yeah, the way is the way of repentance. Of course it is. Turning away from self more and more. Dying to self more and more. Choosing His way and not my own way more and more. That is the way. See, none are so blind as His servants. Isaiah 42:19, who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect and blind as the Lord's servant? When you fall away, you need somebody to let you know. You'll never figure it out yourself. Hallelujah. If we've been born again, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after that I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Oh, when you go where He is seated, isn't it good to talk about your brothers and sisters? Aren't you thankful to know any real saints in this great apostasy? Isn't it a glorious thing to know some real saints, even if you don't know many? Just knowing one is quite a thing in this time. Is that what you do when you get there? Do you talk to the Father about your brothers and sisters and the problems they're having? After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, that's the proof of faith, you see. Faith works by love. That's how faith works. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Oh, brethren, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. Brethren, there's some things that we need to know. Now, if any man thinks he knows something, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. And yet there are things that we must know now, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power, hallelujah, to usward. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. It's His power. Don't ever forget that. When you see this manifestation of His mighty power, it's His power. It's not our power. It should humble us when we see it, and we'll see it more. It's His power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. It's the spirit of life, which is much stronger than the spirit of death. Christ is proof of that. He is the I Am. Death couldn't hold Him. The spirit of life, much more powerful than the spirits of death, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come, and that He might put all things under His feet, glory to God, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. The church, yeah, the saints. The saints are the legitimate occupying authorities on this planet, but they don't seem to understand this mystery of the ages too well. We are the body of Christ. We are the legitimate occupying authorities on this planet. Satan and his Antichrist demonic horde are finished. Doesn't look like it. They're finished. God said so. They're finished. And we are pressed into this mystery of the ages. And serve notice. They're finished. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you, yes, you, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And we've all been there. Don't forget, that's where we came from. According to his grace and by his grace, and without his grace we'd still be there. And a lot of people who don't think they're there need his grace found in being born again. But we've all been there. But you, but me and you, hath he quickened. He has given us life. We've been born again. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but we've been born again. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, in the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Oh, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, past tense, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. No other way. By grace. If you're going to be saved, it's by grace. It ain't going to be by your works. Now, your works should flow as the expected result of finding that grace. The expected result of the love of God dawning in our heart is that the works do follow. Because we are saved by grace through faith, which works by love, unto good works. And faith without works is dead. But you don't put the cart before the horse on that one. You do. That's part of the broad religious path to destruction. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto something. He did this for a reason. There's a purpose. It leads somewhere. Unto what? Unto works, good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Yes, there's an order to this. And you can't put it out of order. And this is what all the religions try and do. They try and put this cart before the horse and it don't run. It will go straight to hell. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. He has done it. Not our works did it. He has done it first. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. But if you're born again, you're Israel. That's what being born again means. You're grafted into this family of God called Israel. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. No other way. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. This is the oral law of the rabbis, the religious traditions. He nailed all those additions to this pure written word. He didn't do away with the law of Moses. Don't let anybody tell you that. He came and fulfilled it and perfected it. He gave us more fullness of understanding. There are 613 commandments in the Old Testament. The only thing done away with is a better priesthood and a better promises. We've got over 800 commandments in the New Testament. There was no fault with that old covenant. The fault was found with the people. The people didn't have the heart to keep the covenant. It was a good covenant. It still is. And it's still in force. And God still keeps his end of that covenant. But I'll tell you what was abolished. Not those Ten Commandments. Absolutely not. You don't know what love is if you don't understand how important it is to walk in those Ten Commandments, which are 10 simple instructions in real, genuine, biblical love, which will cause your faith to work. And there's nothing wrong with the law of Moses. We got a better priesthood and better promises now. But there's nothing wrong with that covenant. The fault was found in the people. I'll tell you what was nailed to the cross. The law that was nailed to the cross was the oral law of the rabbis, the religious traditions of religious men that added to what God had said. That got nailed to the cross. You let somebody tell you that the Ten Commandments got nailed to the cross, you better get away from them. You're dealing with an antinomian. Antinomians have always been heretics. They're lawless. They're sons of perdition. They don't know what love is. And they can't know what love is. They don't even know they need a Savior. They're on the broad religious path to hell. God didn't do this to say, I bless your sins. No, he ain't blessing our sins. He didn't do what he did to bless our sins. No, he gave us the best reason and the power to say no to sin and to stuff these stupid sins. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. What ordinances? The oral law of the religious men. The stuff that the religious men, yes, even the sacramental observances of the Pope. If you're trusting your sacramental observance, if you're trusting your work, you're going to hell. You're on a religious broad way to hell. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, the oral law and additions and traditions and additions of religious men. The oral law of the rabbis got nailed to the cross. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. What is the reason for all these stupid denominations and divisions? Flesh, inadequate desire to do the will of God, self-sanctification, religiosity. That's the reason. Yes, they turned it into a business. A state religion business. That is not the purpose why God did all these wonderful things for us. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You're in the family of God. You're a child of God. With the full double portion of the firstborn as an adopted son by the spirit of adoption, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles. See, this is what we need. We need the doctrine of the apostles. We don't need new apostles with new doctrines. The doctrine of the apostles is the doctrine of Christ, and it's antichrist to bring about new doctrines which would contradict or depart from the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is the doctrine of Messiah, which is the doctrine of the apostles. There's no difference. And we sure don't need new apostles. These people trying to claim they're apostles need to be put in their place. They're liars. Now, that's in the specific sense of having this great authority over all the rest of the body. In that sense, they are liars. But there's another sense that we are all apostles, because every one of us are sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us are commissioned to be his witnesses. We have this good news. We have this treasure, and we have this good news, and we have this doctrine of Messiah. And in that sense, all of us are apostles. Apostle is a Greek maritime term that means one is sent and has the authority of the one who sent him to speak in the name of the one who sent him. And in that sense, all of us are apostles, in that general sense. But in the sense of having a position of authority over the rest of the body of Christ, forget it. The highest authority in the body of Christ today is this Word of God. This is the doctrine of the apostles. This Word of God, this King Jesus Version, Holy Bible, is the highest authority, apostolic authority on this earth. This King Jesus Version, Holy Bible. That's your office of the apostles. And they're still working that fivefold ministry. The ministry of the apostles is working stronger than it ever has worked among those who receive the truth and acknowledge the truth. And when it comes to the position of authority invested in them on this earth today, it's in the prophet. Oh, yes. It's in the prophet. See, the prophet points the direction for the people of God to go. The apostle will never disagree with the direction the prophet points. If you stick your index finger out to point with your index finger, the thumb cannot go opposite the direction of that index finger. It's pointed up, hoping the rest of the body will come in line, because you look at what your pastors, evangelists, and teachers are doing. They're going opposite the direction God wants his people to go, as pointed by the prophet. Look at it. The pastor, evangelist, and teacher go in the opposite direction. But the apostle, the ministry of the apostle, is like the thumb. It gives the grip. He'll bring it so that it's all together. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given? Do you consider yourself to be less than any other saint? Something's wrong if you don't. Do you consider yourself to be a bigger sinner than any other saint? Something's wrong if you don't. Let me just tell you that. Something's wrong if you don't. See, because you know the sins you've done. You don't know. You can only think you know the sins that the other people have done. But guess what? You know the sins you've done. And that makes you, according to your knowledge, the biggest sinner ever was. And according to your knowledge, that same knowledge should lead you to the point that you're the least saint there is. But you're still a saint. Glory to God. Don't ever lose that. And if you can get it in that order, you're going to walk in power. You're going to walk in victory, because the joy of the Holy Spirit will empower you to walk in great victory. I hope you didn't miss that. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promises in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Hallelujah. See, it's the working of his power. That's what makes things very effectual. See, and when we feel not worthy, that's when his power can be working very effectually. That's good. Isn't that good? That's good. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Do you have this mind in you? And watch out, because the effectual working of his power is ready to be let loose. Do you see this? I hope I'm not talking like I'm from Jupiter. You got to see this, saints. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this. You got to personalize this. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And every one of us are his witnesses. We've got some good news. We've got some light in this darkness. We got some salt for this corruption all around us. Yes, yes, we do. And make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The mystery. Very definite article. Not any old mystery. The one that should be captivating our full attention now. This mystery of the ages. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent. What was his intent? What's the reason? What's the purpose? To the intent that now, glory to God, now, you got to receive it now. To the intent, this is God's intent, this is the will of God, that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Oh, glory to God. Look, saints, there's every reason to believe that Revelation 12 war in heaven is over. Huh. Boy, Satan's in trouble. And he knows he's in trouble, see? He's in big trouble. Because we can go where he would like to be able to go and carry on the accuser of the brethren, but he cannot go there. We can go there, but he can't go there no more. He's been whooped. And if we can go there where our king is seated next to the Father, and we can get permission from the Father to speak to our enemy and his enemy in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood of Yeshua, oh man, can we do some damage to Satan and his Antichrist demonic horde? This is the mystery of the ages that is now made known. See, and it couldn't be made known in its fullness until the Father said, okay, Yeshua, take charge. And Yeshua stood up and said, okay, Michael, kick him out of here. Michael, you and Gabriel, kick him out. Heaven's rejoicing. Oh, man, if we had a lick of sense, that's where we'd want to be. Not that we have a death wish. But if we had a lick of sense, the accuser of the brethren, old Beelzebub, ain't up there anymore. No demons in heaven anymore. They're all down here. And see, we got to go there. We got to know how to go there if we're going to do what needs to be done here. I hope you understand this. This is the mystery of the ages, which could not be revealed in fullness. I think this is why Paul couldn't talk about it in this kind of fullness, that we're speaking about it right now. Then. But I believe we can speak about it now in fullness. And you better know this mystery. And you better know how to try and communicate it to someone. Because I'll tell you what, we're in a war. And it's never been like this. Never will be again, thank God for that. And you got to understand, this is according to the eternal purpose of God. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Glory to God. See, we're depending on the faith of Christ. We're not depending on our own faith. Our faith may be mustard seed sized faith, but we're not depending on our faith. We're depending on the faith of Christ. And by his Holy Spirit, he said we can go where he is seated. So we can do it. That's a higher reality than what we think, see, hear, smell, taste, or touch. He said we can go there. We can go there. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, his Holy Spirit. That's what makes the difference between faith and belief. Faith is belief plus the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God. The devils believe better than we do, but they can't have faith. No, faith is belief plus the Holy Ghost, in whom we have boldness. See, we're not coming in our righteousness. No, we're coming in his righteousness. We're not coming in our faith, our goodness, our works. We're coming in his goodness and in his work and in his faith and in his imputed righteousness. See, that's why we can come in there with boldness. Boldness. Only thing that'll block it is unforgiveness. It's the only thing that'll block it, unforgiveness. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Do you understand this? Now, get understanding of this if you can. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. As big as you can think, he can do bigger. As big as you can think, he can do better. As big as you can think, he's way past that and is well able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What power? According to the power that worketh in us. According to the power that worketh in us. There you go. That power is in you. Just remember, it's his power, not your power. Let it humble you when you see it manifest. Because it's not yours, it's his. Unto him. See, it's for his glory. It's his power for his glory. See, it's not for our glory. No, it's not for our vain glory. It's not for our stupid religious vain glory. It's for his glory. It's his power for his glory. When you see it manifest, if it humbles you, you're going to see it manifest more. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. World without end, amen. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. I feel like a prisoner. I feel like he put me in solitary confinement. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Now listen, it's time we gather with Christ. It's time we gather with Christ. Not by compromise, no. It's time we gather with Christ by sound doctrine, which most cannot endure, but they will make the choice to separate from you. But it's time we gather with Christ by way of sound doctrine, which men will not endure. The vast majority, maybe less than 1 in 50 who call themselves Christians, will endure. Most of them will fall out along the way. Maybe 1 in 50 will endure, but it's time we gather. For there is this heart cry of our God and great King, that we keep this unity of the Spirit. And if you read the book of Acts, every time that they were in unity of the Spirit, every time that they were of one accord, this is when you saw the manifest power of God in fullness. And we must now endeavor. Let's do some endeavoring. Let's do some endeavoring. Because we know it's the will of God. Let's do some endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. That's a good reason. Endeavor for unity. Because there's one body. There is one Spirit. That's a good reason to endeavor for unity. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. That's a good reason to endeavor for unity. There is one Lord. That's a good reason to endeavor for unity. There is one faith. There is another good reason to endeavor for unity. There is one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That's the best reason to endeavor for unity. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It's all grace. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. It's time we recognize our place in the body and understand that we, if we have this one Spirit, we should recognize the call of God on other people. That's part of having the Spirit of God, is to recognize the call of God on someone. And what is all this about? Why? For the perfecting of the saints. That's why it is. For the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's the purpose of the church. For the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry for every single saint in this time is war with the Antichrist demonic host. Learning spiritual warfare. Any church that is not teaching spiritual warfare is not worthy of being called a church today. Because that's the common ministry of every true saint today. For the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. And what is the work of the ministry? In the final 42 months before the Lord returns, the single common ministry of every saint is war with the Antichrist. Spiritual warfare. And if there's one thing the apostate church is in agreement about, is once you get born again and baptized with the Holy Ghost, and if you get the evidence of speaking in tongues, you can't have a demon. Nothing could be further from the truth than that. What's it all about? For the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is war. The common ministry of every single saint in this time is war with the Antichrist demonic host. That is the work of the ministry. What's the purpose for that, though? Well, the purpose of that is for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, God is still going to be glorified in his body, which is the church. Now, it may be not big in numbers, but it's going to be big in power, like the world has never seen. It's going to be big in power, spiritual power. Yeah, a lot of people are going to get killed. That's okay. Don't you want to go be where Jesus is? When old Beelzebub ain't got any presence there at all? So what if we get killed? So what if we go get thrown in jail? Jesus was a jailbird. Paul was a jailbird. All the apostles were jailbirds. You're in good company. It all depends on why you get put there. If you get put there suffering for righteousness' sake, it's cause for great joy and rejoicing. But if you get put there for doing some kind of evil act, that's something else again. But that is the reason. For the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. See this unity? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we all look like we belong in the family. Glory to God. That we henceforth be no more children. That we grow up. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. No, we know the doctrine of Christ. We know the doctrine of the apostles. We know we've got the God-promised perfect Bible. This is the final authority on it. No, you don't have to be high IQ to understand this book. This book is understood by God's Holy Spirit. Not by training, not by degrees, not by being approved by the people of the world, not by majority vote. It's understood when you become as a child, when you're willing to turn at his reproof, that henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We all have different jobs to do. Look, we couldn't stand if there weren't a few saints out there sweating so we could stand here and sweat. It wouldn't be possible. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but have not, brethren, but you have not so learned Christ. I thank God for that. I know that. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him. See, he's your teacher. We got the same teacher. Your teacher is the Holy Ghost. I'm glad you have an unction from the Holy One. Your teacher is the Holy Ghost, same teacher. See, we got the same teacher. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry. This is a command of God. I'm sorry. No, the anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. But I'll tell you what. It's part of the righteousness of God to be angry about the things that make God angry. Be ye angry. Yes, it is a command. It is an imperative command of God. Paul was speaking this and writing this by the Holy Ghost. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Look, every night when you put your head on the pillow, ask the Holy Ghost if there's somebody that you're harboring unforgiveness about, and forgive them. Ask for the power of God to forgive them, because that will block your access. That's the only thing that will block your access to be able to go where he is seated at the Father's right hand. And you've got to have this access. And unforgiveness will block it. But there are things that make God angry, and they ought to make us angry. We're not angry at the people. We're angry at the demons working in the people. And this is why the battle has got to be taken into the spiritual realm. Because there's a spiritual dynamic that is behind the outworking of any physical manifestation. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Work is good. It's a blessing. If you've got work, you are blessed. You can stay busy, and you'll stay out of trouble when you're staying busy. It's when people are not busy that they get in trouble, become busybodies, tale bearers, abominations. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are so blessed. Look at this. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Do right, and you won't grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed. This is past tense. Past and even present continuous tense. This is sealed. The Holy Spirit has come into you to take up residence in your spirit. And that's sealed. The devil can't touch that. The only one who can mess with that is you, with your self-will. That's the only thing that can tamper with this seal, is your own self-will. So don't grieve the Spirit. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. God is going to bring you through. It is the will of God to bring you through. And that is sealed. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Don't forget that. God for Christ's sake has forgiven me. So for Christ's sake, can I forgive you? You bet I can. I want to forgive you. You need to be forgiven. I got some forgiveness to give you. I want to forgive you. God forgave me. How could I do anything else? I got to forgive you. You want some forgiveness? Just ask me. I got it. You want to be forgiven? You got it. Ain't even a second thought about it. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, which is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You watch what I do, okay? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You see why we can't join and go along with this Antichrist global religion of tolerance? You see why we cannot go along with this thing? And have no fellowship, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means we're supposed to know what's going on in this world around us. You're supposed to know what's happening in this world. Don't focus on the mystery of iniquity, but understand the mystery of iniquity, the cup of iniquity is full to overflowing. Pay attention to what's going on, but don't let that be your focus. Not now, brethren. That mystery of iniquity ought not be a mystery to you. You're going to pick enough of it up accidentally to fill all your needs to be circumspect. But pay attention, be sober. But don't be drawn to focus on that mystery of iniquity. No, stay focused on the mystery of the ages, which makes that mystery of iniquity pale by comparison. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. These are evil days. You wonder how it could get so evil so fast. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. See, this is really the key, to know what the will of the Lord is. Well, how are you going to know the will of the Lord if you don't read the Word of God? You know, He has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He has totally revealed His will to us in fullness in this Word of God. Nothing sealed up in here anymore. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's the program. Want a good program? There's a good program. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves. Yeah, speak to yourself. Guess what? Why are you going to do that? Well, they say people that speak to themselves are crazy. No. Go ahead. God said speak to yourself. Let the world say you're crazy. You speak to yourself. You speak to yourself. The world say you're crazy. That's okay. Why do you speak to yourself? Because the Holy Ghost is in there. That's why you speak to yourself. You talk to God. He's taking up residence in your spirit. You see this? You see why the world wants you to think it's crazy to speak to yourself? You see why the world wants you to think you're crazy if you talk to yourself? I'll tell you what. This is a command of God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Hallelujah. See, this is who you're talking to. The world don't know who you're talking to. That's their problem. See, that's the world's problem. They don't know who you're talking to. They need to get to know Him. And if you spend your time talking to Him, you're not going to get near as much trouble as you would otherwise. If you're singing those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs unto the Lord, and He loves your singing. He gave you your voice. You may not like your voice, but He thinks it's perfect. For you, it is perfect, because the perfect God gave it to you, and He loves it. And you spend your time speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Guess what? You're going to walk in joy. You're going to walk in power. You're going to walk in the power of His might. Giving thanks always for all things. Wow. Yeah, even your tribulation and trials. Even the trial that you're enduring now. Give thanks to God for it. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. And therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. How much did He love it? He was crucified for His church. You ain't loved your wife that much and that good yet, but you're on the right track. Glory to God. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. This term reverence and this term reverend only belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is an attitude of the wife toward her husband. If she wouldn't act that way toward the Lord Jesus Christ, she shouldn't act that way toward her husband. Would you do that to Jesus? Then don't do it to your husband. And husbands, how much do you need to love your wife? You been crucified yet? You sweat blood yet for her? Puts things in perspective in a hurry. And I'll tell you what, if you follow these things, it'll go well with you. Children, obey your parents. No ifs, ands, buts about it. You stick your feet under your parents' table, you obey them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, always, regardless of what age. Do not dishonor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mightest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not unto men. This is the key to finding joy in a job that you hate doing. Do it like you're doing it unto the Lord. Whatever you do, do it as though you are doing it for the Lord. And this is how you can put up with the most obnoxious, ungodly bosses that there is. Do your work in an outstanding way, because you're not doing it for this no good boss. You're doing it for the Lord. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And you masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening. Don't threaten. Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against the rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see why we've got to learn spiritual warfare? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't hate the people. We hate the demons in the people. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Guess what? This is the evil day. If you haven't noticed, this is the evil day. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. If it ever was important, it's important to you today, and it's going to get more important every day until the Lord returns. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Get this printed out. Betty's got this printed out. She puts it up on her cabinet. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, not your works righteousness, the true imputed righteousness of Christ, which is evidenced by your works righteousness. Never before, always following the imputed righteousness of Christ as evidence of the imputed righteousness of Christ. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Look, this is why you got to have your gospel shoes on. Keep studying the gospel. Keep studying the gospel. Put your gospel shoes on every morning. Jesus Christ died for sinners, of whom I am chief. Put your gospel shoes on. It'll help you walk in victory over the snakes of vanity and pride and over the scorpion of envy. Put your gospel shoes on. Nothing so humbling as the gospel. Jesus Christ died for sinners. He was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered for my offenses. Personalize it. He was delivered for my offenses, and he was raised again for my justification. Put your gospel shoes on. It'll give you victory over the stupid vanity that constantly brings you down, puts you into pity parties, puts you into self, puts you into the flesh. It puts you into all these things that are ungodly and are not according to the will of God or the mystery of the ages. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Get your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How did we come to have peace with God? How did we come to have peace with God? What a price God paid for a sorry sinner like me. Amazing. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why you got to go to this word of God. You must go to this word of God. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Your only offensive weapon is this word of God. People that don't read this word of God are in trouble. Every day. We need it every day. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, not in hypocrisy, in sincerity. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua.